And we'll be starting in verse number 5 this morning. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 5. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 5. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, "The thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." Wow, what a thing to tell your men, right? And these magicians and these astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, they have to not only tell the interpretation, but they have to tell them the dream. And if these guys can actually tell the dream, then that'll be something in of itself. But he also wants the interpretation. But he makes the statement thereof, if you tell me the dream, then I know you can give me the interpretation. So now in verse 5, the king might have been lying to just prove that the magicians, he might have remembered his dream, but he tells them that the thing is gone from him. You know, if he would have told them the dream, they could have given him any interpretation that they wanted. Now, in verse 5, it shows you the dictatorship of Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babylon. Our presidents today cannot say this. They would be impeached. But he says this is what's going to happen, and usually it happened. Now, verses 6 through 8, he said, "Because ye see the thing is gone from me, you would gain the time." He says there in verse 8. That is basically them just stalling for time. Here, these men, they came in unsuspectingly. They're thinking, all right, we're going to do our job, and they had no doubt they'd be able to interpret the king's dreams, because you know that they had their book of dreams and they had their studies and their volumes and they'd done it often enough. But here's the catch. Not only tell me the interpretation as you know, but tell me the dream also. And that's really the problem. These men didn't know that. They wanted the dream as well as the interpretation. And if they couldn't give him the dream, then they're going to be cut up and they're going to be destroyed. But if you do tell the dream, they're going to be rewarded. And they say, well, that's your interpretation. Really, that's what you're going to say. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 40, verse 8, "And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." And then the baker and the butler goes on and tells their dream to Joseph. And so we give the interpretations from God by comparing Scripture to Scripture, and from here a little, there a little, and from here and from there, and that's how they get the interpretation. And so we give the interpretations from God by comparing Scripture to Scripture. And it, here it says in verse 5, the thing is gone from me. Now in the chapter, we have another time when this thing is used. And it says in verse, for the thing is gone from me. Well, what is this thing? It's the dream. Look at verse 13. He goes on and there's another thing. Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. They sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And go on down to verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, the thing being the decree, the dream, the whole incident. So we have two things in these few verses. Now let's go back up to verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before, you know, really this is the only way, the only answer that they could give the king. There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. If they had any history about Egypt, even the Pharaoh didn't ask that of anybody. This is the first thing. Verse 11, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Here the Chaldeans are right. There was no one on earth that could give the dream nor the interpretation. The only way was for a man to go to God, which is what Daniel does. No man knows the interpretation. Only God gives the interpretation. You know, you could have the dream. You can have a very important dream, but you're not going to know the interpretation unless God makes it known to you. The desperation of the counselors. Now, we're gonna talk about this a little bit. It says in verse 7, they answered again and said, let the king tell his servants. What else could they say? They couldn't quite believe what he meant when he said this, that they were having their own dreams and visions about being cut into pieces and things. Just think about that. What goes through their minds when the king says, this is what I'm going to do to you if you don't give me the dream, but if you do give it, then you'll have visions of grandeur. The king answered and said, I know of a certainty that you would gain the time because you see that the thing is gone from me. Look, it's an unusual demand, no doubt. It's an impossible demand, and it can't be done by man. Only by God. Amen. Now, as we know our Bible, we certainly see a picture here, don't we? Talking about God, and yet God did dwell in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. God became flesh and dwelt among us, but not at this time. These guys confessed that their occult practices had limits. Look, the devil and his demons, they don't have the characteristics of God. They're not almighty. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipresent. They're limited. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Look, it was apparent in the time of Pharaoh, and some of those magicians remembered that they mimicked the God-given miracles that Moses had. But they didn't mimic them all. They couldn't counterfeit all of those miracles. And the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And like those magicians in Moses' day, these ungodly men, they not only confess their own human limitations, but they're acknowledging God. They're saying, you know, this can't happen. Only God can do this. And definitely no one in the flesh. And because they're realizing now, they're in a heap of trouble. They need some help. We're going to be cut in pieces because we don't know this. We can't deliver him the dream, and we cannot give him the interpretation. And how many thousands over the years have turned to God when they're under pressure? How many thousands have turned to God when they're fearful? Not necessarily for salvation, but maybe to blame or maybe to help. You know, someone has a tragic accident and people cry out, God, help me, saved or lost. Or something bad happens in their lives and, God, why'd you do that? Why did that happen to me? Or our country, when we have troubles, the politicians say, well, let's pray to God. Let's light candles. Let's do this or do that or whatever. Families have sicknesses, you know. People will have problems in their life and they'll go to somebody that they know and somebody that knows God maybe and ask them to pray for them. And you see these things happen. And these same people who regularly ignore God, maybe deny God, even mock God, take his name in vain. All of a sudden they're saying, well, we can't do this. Only God can do this. Only God can get us through that. I'll tell you what that is. That's a gracious and merciful God. What? He can help. And because God told us in the book of John that he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. There's a light. An internal light that men have to seek after God, but they have to try to find that light, and it can only be found in God. And yet that same light flickers in a Christian. And when that world needs a prayer or needs to get a hold of God, they know somebody, there's a Christian that can get a hold of God somewhere, they'll call that church to pray for them. And there is a God. And something you think for a merciful God like that, that doesn't just shut the whole thing. It doesn't shut the whole thing out. Never forget that people, whoever they are, they still need God. And isn't that why we witness? Isn't that why we do what we do? Sometimes God wants to use us to be his light to people who have snuffed out that inner light. To be his light to people who have grieved the conscience that God has put inside them. To be that divine voice to people who have seared their conscience. And sometimes we need to be that person. Not necessarily that person to blame them or to be mean to them, but maybe just to pray for them. God will use us for that purpose. To be a blessing. These magicians and fortune tellers were known for drawing out enough information to form a basis for interpretation that would appear correct whichever way the event would go. If they could just gather enough information, they could give the interpretation of the dream. Here are these men, in verse 11, it says, and it is a rare thing that the king requireth, that there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Here this was their confession. They could not communicate with the gods, let alone the God of the eternal God. Every other time they had supposedly communicated to bring forth an interpretation, it was just a false profession. They were deceivers doing the will of their father, Satan. When they confessed that no one except the gods could produce the dream and the interpretation of it, they were saying that they could not give the interpretation, that they had no power with the gods. It was except the gods. Here you show not only that, but you see their belief in many gods. The polytheism. Monotheism is the belief of only one God. But here they acknowledge their except the gods. The king's extraordinary demand was designed to expose the fraudulent methods of these false prophets. This justified the king's charge that they were imposters. Even these pagan wise men knew that only a God whose dwelling is not with flesh could reveal the king's dream and the meaning. And for this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Now, Daniel and his companions fell into this category, the wise men of Babylon. To execute these wise men and to cause their destruction was to weaken the empire. And so the decree goes forth. Verse 13, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Here you see that they're seeking out Daniel and his companions to kill him, to be put to death. Verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain. Now, Arioch is the captain of the guard. Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king. Now, so Daniel goes in to the king, King Nebuchadnezzar, and talks to the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Now, for whatever reason, the king doesn't tell Daniel, you're stalling for time. God has mercy upon Daniel, and he gives him some time, and he says, I will give you the interpretation of the dream and the dream itself, but time has to be, you have to give some time. And that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. Notice the faith of Daniel. Daniel goes into the king. Daniel did not ask the king to describe his dream. He simply asked for time. He promised the king that he would not only produce the dream, but also give the meaning. And in verse 17, he brings it to his friends. He brings it before his companions, and they start praying about it. And you show the unity of prayer. Verse 18, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. God has made this thing a secret. And they're asking for the meaning of this secret. It's a mystery that's not been revealed, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, if God says no and decides not to give the meaning, then they understand they're going to be put to death. They understand that, because they're going to perish otherwise. Doubtless Daniel would have been heard if he would have prayed alone on this matter. But Daniel believed in united prayer. His three companions were as much interested in this matter as he was. Why? Because it affected them. Their lives were threatened as much as his was. But something more than their lives were at stake here. If Daniel had failed God, the world would have missed the great revelation from here all the way to the end of the book, because they would have been killed. They would have missed the great revelation here of Daniel chapter 2 that was locked up in this dream, the historical and the prophetical outline of the times of the Gentiles. And yet God blesses this unity of prayer. That's why we come together as a church to pray. It's a blessing. Besides that, God blesses it when a church gets together and decides to unite in prayer and go to God. Sure, I could go to God about the same matters, but it might not go through as fast as if the church would unite in prayer. It's an important thing. Verse 19, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Like we've already said, they prayed for understanding of the things of God. They prayed for mercy. And God gives the answer. In order for two people, the king and Daniel, to receive the same vision, can only be attributed to the divine origin of the vision. Like Joseph's experience with Pharaoh in Genesis chapter 41, God gave Daniel the ability to interpret the king's dream in order to gain his attention and influence his decisions. Daniel was chosen to receive the meaning, but it would not have been possible without prayer. Listen, God gave Daniel the meaning, not the three companions, although they were as much a part of it because of the prayer they put into it. Whether Daniel fell asleep and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar was repeated to him along with the interpretation, or as he lay on his couch praying, we're not told. But nevertheless, Daniel saw the vision and was given the interpretation also. Nebuchadnezzar only received the vision. He didn't receive the interpretation, but Daniel got both. And Daniel believed in giving thanks for the answered prayer. Look at verse 20, or the end of verse 19. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He didn't go straight to the king. He said, well, God has answered our prayer. Let's thank him first. And Daniel answered and said, verse 20, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. Now he's giving God the praise and the thanks for all of this in light of the understanding of the dream. He already knows the outcome of the image of Nebuchadnezzar. And he's already seen that the stone has destroyed all the other kingdoms. He knows the interpretation of it. And yet he's saying that he's setting up one king and bringing down another. That's what he's saying here. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. And you know, that's exactly what God does. God reveals the deep and the secret things. And the only reason you're going to get something deep from God is by going to him about it. There's a lot about this Bible we don't understand, but if you go to God, God will show it to you. Now, you may have to keep praying and seeking and searching and comparing Scripture with Scripture, but He'll sooner or later, He'll give it to you. That's just the way He does. I won't be able to give it to you, but the Holy Spirit can. Only God revealeth the deep and the secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Doesn't dwell with man. The light only dwells with God. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. What a blessing. Daniel gives God the praise. He took time to thank God for the dream and the meaning of it. He thanked God for saving their lives, but praised Him for having a marvelous plan for mankind's future. Daniel's prayer revealed the spiritual heart of Daniel. You know, sometimes we get an answer, and aren't we quick? We most of the time, we would have just rushed off in haste to the king and then thanked God later, wouldn't we? But Daniel didn't do that. You know, Daniel's prayer of praise is sevenfold. Daniel quoted God's word while he prayed. He said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." Look at Psalm 113. Psalm 113. And verse 2. "Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore." He quoted Scripture. Look at chapter 115, verse 18. "But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord." Number one, he prayed about wisdom and might are God's. Look at Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. And look at verse 16. Jeremiah 32, verse 16. "Now when I had delivered the evidence of the purchase unto Barak, the son of Neriah, I prayed unto the Lord, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is His name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for Thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Wisdom and might are God's." Look at Daniel chapter 7. Number two, he changeth the times and seasons, he said. Daniel 7, verse 25, Daniel uses this again later. Daniel 7, verse 25. "And he shall speak great words against the Most High," talking about the Antichrist, "and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. And they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times, 3.5 years. Talking about the times and the seasons. Number the third thing he talks about, he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Look at Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17. Daniel 4, verse 17. "This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know, and that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men." Look at Psalm 75. Psalm 75 and verses 6 and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. Where does it come from then? It comes from the north, from God. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will, it says in Proverbs. Look at Job chapter 12. Job chapter 12 and verse 18. He looseth the bonds of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. Number 4, he giveth wisdom unto the wise. And James chapter 1 verse 5, we know the verse well. I'll just go over here and read it real quick. James 1, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Number 5, knowledge to them that know understanding. You can go through the book of Proverbs and look about, in all thy getting, get understanding, the Bible says. It talks about knowledge and understanding throughout the book of Proverbs. Number 6, he revealeth the deep and the secret things. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 29 and verse 29, and Job 12 verse 22, Psalm 25 verse 14, about the deep and the secret things. And it also talks about that in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 32. And number 7, he knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him, it says. And he knoweth what is in the darkness. You can go look at the darkness. Let me go and read you this verse out of Psalms. Psalm 139. Let me go over here and read this verse. It says in verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Talking about they're alike to God. The light and the darkness are alike to God. Go back to Daniel, if you would. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 23. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, hast made known unto me what made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Daniel didn't take all the credit, but God made the thing known to all four of them. He gave it to Daniel, and he says, what we desired of thee thou hast given and made known unto Daniel, unto me, he says. Now all four of them knew what the king's matter was. Oh, how great is God? If you just go to him, you know, and ask him, and he'll show you things, you know, he'll show you great and mighty things, the Bible says, which thou knowest not, amen? Amen.